right, thank you, everyone. Carla, could you please read item 1136?
Yes, 1136, 2019 Steve Lowenstein Trust Award.
Colleagues, this is an item that was brought by Commissioner Fish. He could not be here today, so he asked me if I would please welcome our honored guests and introduce the item today. So I'd like to start by introducing past board chair of the Steve Lowenstein Trust, that's Michelle Harper, and board member Margie Harris. If you could both come down. This is an award, of course, that's named after the great Steve Lowenstein. He was an attorney, an author, and a civil rights activist. He was the founding director of the Oregon Legal Services, and he volunteered with the Peace Corps. He worked here in Portland City Hall, and he was a strong advocate for social justice. Steve firmly believed that this award should go to someone who demonstrates the greatest contributions to assisting the poor and underprivileged in our community. This year, the board has selected Billy Anfield as the 2019 Steve Lowenstein Trust Award recipient. Billy has spent decades working with those who were formerly incarcerated to successfully reenter our community and become achieve the fulfillment of their life's dreams. And they, in turn, would become recidivism activists themselves, so they would reach out to other people who are also returning to the community and give them the encouragement and support that they need to become successful. Billy, we're honored to celebrate you here this morning, and we thank you for your incredible transformational leadership in our community. And so with that, I'll let Michelle take it away. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor and the City Council. It gives me great pleasure to come before you and to present the 2019 Steve Lowenstein Trust Award recipient, Mr. Billy Anfield. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge our board and ask them to stand, please. I'd also like to acknowledge Mr. Anfield's family. He has quite a few family members here, wife, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, co-workers, friends, clients. So we're very happy to have the family and everyone here this morning to honor Mr. Anfield. In the 28 years that we've given this award, we've given away over $200,000 in support to individual programs that support and build the community and make the city of Portland what it is. At this time, I will turn it over to Margie to give a brief remarks about Steve and why we continue to do this work.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, members of the City Council. I'm sorry to miss Commissioner Hardesty and wish Commissioner Fish good health. My name is Margie Harris, and I'm a member of the Lowenstein Trust Board of Directors. Those of us on the board convene each year to make this honorable selection of someone in Steve's name. I will take just a few minutes to remind us all about the person Steve Lowenstein was. Steve lived a life committed to improving opportunities for others. We remember him as the founder of Legal Aid here in Oregon, an attorney who used the law to protect and defend those most in need. We remember him as an activist, active in the northwest part of town especially, and someone who shined light on citizens who deserve to be treated with greater dignity and respect. We remember him as a researcher and a writer who authored a most notable work describing the history of Jews in Oregon. I have my copy inscribed by Steve. Though we often recall these examples of what Steve achieved in his short life of only 52 years, I also want to remind us about who he was as a friend and as my co-worker in City Hall here working with Commissioner Lindbergh in the early 1980s. I remember Steve as a thoughtful, intelligent man, full of insights and wise in his counsel. He was a genuinely caring person and someone who was a fine listener. He was an avid reader, a world traveler, a collector of art, and he was funny. So he would spontaneously break into a very contagious laugh. It was really more like a cackle or a giggle. And he used that often. Steve was the only person I knew who ordered dessert first who chose a restaurant based on what they offered for dessert, and he was never too full to indulge in something delicious and sweet at the end of a meal. Each year, when the Lowenstein Trust Award is presented in Steve's memory, we can all take a few moments to remember Steve and to uphold the principles that he lived by. I believe every person we recognize with this annual honor is someone Steve himself would have been proud to know and to support. Thank you very much for being a part of our presentation today. And I am told that we have an okay from you, Mayor Wheeler, to include all the people who wanted to speak. So there's a few extras who will come forward briefly to share their thoughts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will invite up Mr. Anfield and also Richard Harris.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Mr. Anfield, his light shines as a pathway for others. Throughout his multiple decades of work and commitment, he inspires and has taught many their value and how to fight to reclaim their lives. Mr. Anfield first began his work at Central City Concern in 1991, managing an innovative homeless housing program known as Shoreline. It had a major employment component, and during that time, as a total of Mr. Anfield's service with Central City Concern, a total of 24 years, he's had several different jobs. So he has many, many, many skills and has applied all those skills to make the programs that he now runs very, very successful. He is a person who leads by example. His life has been a light for others to see that he's come through the fire and crossed over on the other side. He's very empathetic and understanding of where people are and meets them where they are and allows them to chart a plan, and he's there to guide them through that plan. He's been very supportive and focused of the community of residents and coordinating with employment and recovery services at Central City Concern. Eventually, he took over from the previous Shoreline manager there at Central City Concern. During that time, the employment rate went up significantly. He's co-authored an important innovative program called Move Out Savings Program after a resident found work and started paying rent. A portion of that rent went to the Move On account. The participant later used the savings to cover the expenses to moving to a non-subsidized and independent housing. This growing savings account worked to encourage residents to move on, making room for others who can benefit from the Shoreline. In 6 months to a year, the move-out account could grow to over $1,000 to support utilities and deposit of first month's rent. Following that position, Mr. Anfield was managing the employment services project, the housing management, janitorial services, and all of these programs. He selectively decided to mentor each and every person that was in this program, support them to each of their levels of recovery, and make sure that they were able to stand on their own before moving to the next level. He's a very positive role model. He's definitely a mentor, one that can always be counted on. Over time, the experience that he has shared to many, with many. His experience of knowledge and from the certifications that he has received, he's shared that knowledge with many people. Some of the certificates that he has gotten with the certificate in moral recognition therapy and basic training, he added MRT, which is an advanced training, Freedom Road cognitive training, brain-based mentoring certification, habilitation empowerment accountability certification. He's also a certified Department of Corrections volunteer as well. In 2006, the City of Portland Bureau of Housing and Community Development entered a partnership with Community Central City Concern to develop an effort to assist homeless people to stabilize their lives and train for and keep living wage jobs. He chose to lead this effort. He named this project Access to Building Trades and Customer Service Occupations. The program was different from the immediate employment practice called Workforce because it was using the participants, their training, their education, leading to employment in real jobs that require real apprenticeships and certifications, or both. The individuals were screened for motivation and commitment to work in a strenuous program and provided housing for those who did not have access to a stable environment. As I said before, he's been a model mentor, a resource facilitator. He has been the light in the middle of a storm for many people who have lost hope, who are not sure what their value is, those that have been lacking confidence and not sure if they really have the courage to return back into a stable life force, to reclaim their families, and know that they have a rightful place here in our city after they've gone through some storms in their life. In 2012, after 22 years of direct service work with some health issues, Mr. Anfield decided to retire, but that did not last very long. In 2017, he was recruited enthusiastically and accepted to come back and create this, what's called the Flip the Script Advisory Coordinator Program, an Employment Access Center. This program is specifically, culturally specific for African American males, and he's developed many partnerships with this program and is a model of success. It gives me great pleasure to, for us as a board, but as a city, to celebrate Mr. Anfield and the commitment, the undying commitment that he has continued with this program. And everyone that is around him that has been ever touched or been in his presence has been changed. Their life has been changed for the better. So on that note, I will turn it over to Mr. Harris to give a few remarks.
Thank you very much, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Uli. I'm really happy to be here. I haven't been at this desk for quite a while, and so it's good to be back in front of City Council, and particularly for Billy, because of the many employees at Central City Concern, I've known him for a long time and worked directly with him and have some clear idea of the kinds of things and the impact he's had on the homeless people and people who are in recovery and people who are coming out of the prisons and the criminal justice system. So he and I talk about and still see one another. We keep up with what's going on. And when the opportunity came to for a nomination to the Lowenstein Award, I really thought that Billy was the actually perfect person to do this. And so I was really happy to submit and work on an application with others that would reflect the importance of the work that he's done. And in doing that, I wanted to confirm that I had all my facts straight, because as the executive director, I didn't necessarily know all the details of everything that Billy did, because he did so many things. I mean, he managed so many services at Central City. So we were talking about, I was talking with him about the intensive building trades training program that was a grant from the city, and it was intended to help homeless people regain real employment, living wages, and to change the direction of their lives. And it was targeted to people who were been in addiction and now we're in recovery and now we're working on getting good jobs. So I asked Billy, I says, well, it's really important to know what the outcome of this project was, because I'm sure you saw a lot of people in that. And I says, well, how many people were in that program? He says, over a couple of years, there were about 38 people that went through the program. And I had thought that there were probably twice that many in the program. And he would tell me what the statistics were. And so I said, well, how many of those people got jobs, and how many of those people still are sober and are still working? He says, well, 38. And I thought for a moment, well, that's pretty amazing. I mean, and I says, how do you know that? He says, oh, I talked to all of them. Now, this is, I don't know, 6-7 years after the program was, he was working on this program. And I says, come on, Billy, how in the world can you keep track of those 38 people? He says, well, we all keep track of one another. So, and I've talked to them, and many of them are here today. I mean, I think it's really important to know that once you got a relationship with Mr. Anfield, you had one the rest of your life. And I appreciate that because that's somebody who really cares about what they're doing and puts everything into the activity that he's working with them on. So, and he's had many jobs, and I could probably thousands of people he's had contact with that he's been a major element in changing what's happened to them. So I think, and I knew Mr. Lowenstein as well, so I think that Steve would think of Billy as the sort of example that he would cite in almost all respects. A change agent, a mentor, a person who has heart and soul about the people they know, and effective. I mean, I think that the thing that I really appreciate with working with Billy is I never, ever wondered, is this a good thing to do? If he wants to do it, I'm sort of saying, yeah, I think this is, he has a feel for it and he knows what's happening. And so flipped the script when he came back. It was a program that really was something that he and I used to talk about, and it's like the sort of perfect match to his skills. And in his absence from Central City, he also worked with reentry programs for people coming out of prison, and this was a way to get back into that at Central City. And I think that program has thrived under his leadership and others at Central City Concerned. So thank you very much for honoring Billy this week. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Hurst.
At this time, I'd like to acknowledge Mr. Billy Anfield as our 2019 Steve Lowenstein Trust Award recipient. With this award actually comes a $7,500 grant that is used to forward his work through Central City Concerns. So I give you Mr. Anfield.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. Please extend that to Commissioner Fitz. I've asked Risa to embrace him. I know he couldn't be here. I want to thank Michelle Harper, Marjorie Harris, and the entire board, directors Steve Lowenstein Endowment. I want to thank Richard Harris for nominating me. Excuse me. I'm so overwhelmed this morning. It's not a normal day for me. I'm honored to be in this place of city governance, where city governance is managed. It's an honor just being in City Hall for me. I mean, I've been here before to testify for programs, but nothing to this extent. Thank you so much. In the audience this morning is my family, my immediate family, extended family, my Central City Concerned family, and my sponsors, pastors, my coworkers, community partners. We're all family, and I'm so honored to have them here to share my joy this morning and tears of joy. A lot of you haven't seen me in this cry before, but I'm just so overwhelmed at all of this, and I thank each and every one of you so much. When when Richard told me he was going to nominate me, you know, I said, all right, if that's what you feel, you know, I'm all for it. And I know that there was a host of individuals who partook in the process of nominating me. I know that Richard's wife was probably looking over his shoulder at the verbiage. I know that the Central City Concern executive team wrote statements of reference for me. The executive team, I thank you so much, Frida and Rachel. Everyone involved. When I went home the evening, I talked with Richard. I got a call from Michelle Harper, and she was so eloquent in describing the award. And when she started to tell me why they felt I deserved it, I began to cry. Excuse me. I want to acknowledge others that were nominated because, and I don't know who they are, but I know that they do the work as well as I do. And it's perhaps worthy as well. I want to acknowledge them. When I got off the phone with Michelle, I looked up Steve Lowenstein. I did not know him. And what I read, I went into my reading room and I Googled his name and I read about him, the kind of man he was, a lawyer, chief of staff for Commissioner Lindbergh, worked as a volunteer with the Peace Corps, wrote texts on law for Ethiopians, law, advocate for social justice, civil rights advocate, social justice advocate, a lover of people and mankind. And I started thinking about what I do and questioned my worthiness. And I began to think about, and I'm not a lawyer in the long shot, but I said, you know, this man was a lawyer and pretty well established. Why did he reach that far to help people that were in need? What made him do that? And as I questioned that, I found out that he had compassion and caring, the kind that I have. And I began to feel similarities that parallel my work with his. And I actually brought Steve's spirit into me and mine into his. He wrote, I document. And I wondered, wow, I never stopped to think about every client that I have interaction with, I'm required to document that. How many times have I documented over the years? I never stopped to think about that. And I could see Steve in solitaire writing, because I know a writer has to have solitary and calmness and do his writing alone. And I just saw this similarity, and I said, I can understand the kind of man he is. Unselfishly, he did work for mankind and I began to feel good about looking at what I do overall. Because in this work, I don't stop. It's one day at a time. This has created on me and actually forced me to take a look at the years of work that I've done. I mean, you know, every so often people say, you're doing a good job, Billy. You've helped a lot of people. And I see people that I've helped, and I know this. But getting up every day and coming to work is the extent of what I think about my work. When I love getting to work and working with needy people, period. So I just wanted, in Steve's spirit, to know that he is my role model now. And I want to thank everyone that was associated with me being here today. My family, my wife is so happy for me. And she has supported me over 3 decades of doing social service work. And I've worked for multiple agencies that have allowed me to be in a position to help the needy. And so my former and current supervisors are here. I respect them so much for allowing me to do my work and supporting my work. I've met people who I just admire so much and respect so much. Recently, Dave Dahl, who cares about people so much. And he and I, we determined that it's not the bread, it's the meat. So when we see each other, we tell each other that. And it's not. It's the meat. It's the heart. It's the compassion. It's the caring. So with that said, I'm absolutely honored to be connected to the former recipients of this award. May my name, Billy Charles Anfield, be laid with theirs, and I accept carrying the torch of the 2019 Steve Lowenstein Award. Thank you very much.
Mr. Anfield represents the heart and the spirit and the commitment of what Steve Lowenstein envisioned when he created this award. We're living in some very challenging times right now, but when you find a community angel like Mr. Anfield, who is consistently willing to step up to help us with these challenges, it makes us a better city. He is all that is positive and an example of what is best in our city, and with that, I will present the award to Mr. Anfield and take a photo with the City Council.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stand up.
I know if Commissioner Fish were here, he would invite Asana Lawrence to come up and be in the picture, please. And thank you for all of your work on this.
Good morning, board members, come forward.
And his family.
Family members, gather for the photo and the formal performance. If you can.
I can scoot back. What do you want, family members?
Just come right on.
Okay. we salute you for being an amazing human being that represents the best of everything that's in our city and how you lift people up as you climb.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was great. Thank you, everyone. And now we'll move on to the first item on the regular agenda. Carla, could you please call item number 1140? Folks, this is a good celebration and it's worth having, but maybe we can move it outside. And then you can really party the way you want to party.
Item 1140, accept bid of Raymore Construction LLC for the Gateway Green Development and Restoration Project for $2,862,768.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Folks, I'm sorry. We got to keep on moving here. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Council.
Follow that.
All of that. hard act to follow. Very moving this morning. I am Kathleen Brennis, Procurement Manager for Design and Construction Services. I am here to recommend the authorization to enter into a contract with Raymore Construction for the Gateway Green Development and Restoration Project. The authorizing ordinance for this project was approved on September 11th, 2019. The engineer's estimate was $3.7 million. We issued an invitation to bid on September 17th, 2019. A non-mandatory pre-bid conference was held and 9 contractors attended. six primes, and three subs. Bids were due on October 22, 2019, and four bids were received. The responsive low bid is from Raymore Construction, LLC, in the amount of $2,862,768, and it's 22.6% under the engineer's estimate. The city's aspirational 20% subcontractor and supplier utilization goal applied. Raymore met this goal with a commitment to subcontract 20.9% to certified firms, certified with the Certification Office for Business Inclusion and Diversity, listed in the report before you. Raymore is self-performing 79.1% of the work, and they themselves are a certified disadvantaged minority business enterprise. Thus, 100% of the project will be delivered by certified minority and women-owned contractors. I want to highlight that Raymore Construction has been a participant in the Prime Contractor Development Program for the past 5 years. They successfully competed for and was awarded this contract in the open market, one of the numerous success stories of the Prime Contractor Development Program. And if I may, I'd like to recognize Stacey Edwards for her advocacy, leadership, and dedication to the program. Stacey is taking a leave of absence beginning this Friday, and she's going to be greatly missed. With that, Raymore is in full compliance with all city contracting requirements, and I hereby recommend you authorize this contract.
Very good. Colleagues, any questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
A motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Udaly. Any further questions or issues? Hearing none. Carla, please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, I echo your kudos to Stacey and sending her good wishes. I also know that Commissioner Fish is really excited about this project, and it's been in the design process for quite some time. It's exciting that it's a company who's been nurtured through our Prime Contractor Development Program, and that 100% of the contracting, so all of the nearly $3 million is going to minority and women-owned businesses, mostly minority, and I really appreciate that. Aye.
Wheeler.
Good project, good construction company, excellent staff work. Thank you very much. I vote aye. Report's accepted. Thank you. Good luck with it. 1141, please.
Adopt City of Portland Investment Policy.
Colleagues, the city's investment policy describes the framework and criteria for investing the city's cash-based assets. The city's policy is written in accordance with Oregon law, ORS 294.135, and it's brought before the council for adoption each year. City Council last adopted the city's investment policy on 12/13 of 2018. This is an administrative action, and there are no proposed changes to the existing policy. Hi, Bridget.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. For the record, my name is Bridget O'Callaghan, and I am Portland City Treasurer. In my role as Treasurer, I'm responsible for the team of professionals who manage the city's cash assets and also issue debt on behalf of the city. As the mayor stated, Oregon law pertaining to the investment of public funds requires that the city adopt our investment policy annually. The council last adopted the investment policy on December 13th of last year. Today, I'm here to present the investment policy for adoption. As the mayor stated, there are no changes to the policy, but I'd like to highlight a few points of background for the policy itself. The city's investment policy describes the framework and criteria for investing the city's cash assets. The city's investment objectives are to preserve the principal, ensure liquidity, and earn a market return on the funds that we have for the city. In other words, to be good stewards of the city's funds. The City of Portland's investment policy is more restrictive than the state law requires. We have limited our investment parameters to include interest-bearing deposits in local banks that are insured by either covered by insurance or by collateral. And that the investment policy also allows us to invest in United States Treasury or agency securities and corporate securities that are of a very high quality investment ratings. Those ratings are AA minus, AA3 or better by at least two rating agencies. The securities can have a maturity of no longer than 3 years, no more than 5% of the portfolio to an issuer, and no more than 35% of the portfolio to corporate securities. We have further chosen to exclude corporate issuers who are involved with industries such as fossil fuels, financial services, the retail sale of firearms, and we presently allow a concise list of 12 highly rated corporate securities issuers in the policy. Corporate securities provide diversification and an opportunity to earn additional yield over the alternative investment types, such as U.S. Treasuries or agency securities. The investment earnings make a significant financial contribution to the city budget and fund programs and services that the bureaus provide. The investment earnings net of the administrative fee to cover Treasury's operating costs are distributed to the city funds. In 2018-19, Treasury earned $45.3 million on the portfolio. Year-to-date, fiscal 2019-2020 through October 31st, Treasury has earned $14.6 million. The Treasury Division will continue to use its professional expertise and discretion on the investment portfolio to make the decisions on behalf of the city in accordance with that policy. The City of Portland maintains an investment advisory committee to advise the City Treasurer in conjunction with the portfolio oversight, investment policies, and investment practices. The committee is made up of at least three public members who are experienced investment professionals. And finally, in the interest of transparency, Treasury has posted the city's investment portfolio online since 2013. These month-end line-by-line portfolio reports can be found at www.portlandoregon.gov/BRFS. With that, I make myself available to answer any questions.
Great. Colleagues, any questions? Carla, is there any public testimony?
Lightning and Maggie had signed up. I don't know if they're still here. Looks like
I do not see them. Please call the roll.
U Daly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Much quieter investment policy discussion than has been in previous years. Aye. Thank you for your work.
The investment policy sets forth key investment objectives as of course, are to preserve the principal, to ensure liquidity, and of course, to earn a market rate of return. The investment earnings make a significant contribution to the city budget and the programs and services that the bureaus provide. We appreciate your great work and your colleagues' great work. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you very much. Next up, we're going to move it, but can you read item 1142?
Amend Revenue and Finance Code to streamline the procurement and contracting process.
Colleagues, I've had a conversation with Commissioner Fritz. It's requested we move this to the 12-18 agenda, please, Carla. December 18th. And then Commissioner Udaly, you're gonna pull back the next two, is that correct?
43? Yes, Mayor, they're both emergency items and we don't have the required
good point.
Four
okay.
votes.
So why don't we read them? Carla, can you read 1143 and 1144, please?
Mm-hmm. 1143, accept a grant in the amount of $4,646,372 from Metro and authorize intergovernmental agreement for the design and construction of specific priority projects identified in the Central City in Motion Plan and appropriate $95,652 in fiscal year 2019-20. 1144, authorize the Bureau of Transportation to enter into an agreement with the Union Pacific Railroad Company for preliminary engineering and other related services up to the amount of $50,000 to construct a bridge on Northeast 42nd Avenue over the Union Pacific Railroad.
And as Commissioner Udaly just mentioned, we need a fourth here before we can hear these, and so they're referred back to Commissioner Udaly's office.
We're rescheduling them for the 18th.
Okay, yeah. So they are rescheduled for...
Actually, new items are going to be coming because they're going to be on the consent agenda, and we can't move these to consent, so.
Okay, we're not going to hear them today, and we'll sort that all out later. Good. All right, 1145, please.
Amend Transportation System Development Charge 2017 Capital Improvement Plan.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. In 2017, City Council adopted a new 10-year Transportation System Development Charge, or TSDC, rate study and project list. That project list shows which transportation projects are eligible for TSDC funding over the 10 years from 2018 to 2027. The project list was based on the transportation system plan at the time, as well as other recently adopted plans. Since then, the transportation system plan has been updated with another technical update currently in process, and several other area plans have been adopted since the 2017 TSDC project list was adopted. For this reason, PBOT is seeking City Council approval to amend the TSDC project list to reflect these newer plans and provide TSDC eligibility for high priority projects. The proposed amendments reduce eligibility for some projects, increase eligibility for other projects, and add several new projects. Because the total eligibility for all projects would remain the same as the 2017 list, no changes are needed for the rate study or the amounts charged to developers. This only changes the list of eligible transportation projects. Here to explain the details and answer questions is our Director of Policy Planning and Projects, Art Pierce, and company. Welcome, yeah. Art.
Good morning, thank you. So I'm here with Zeph Wagner, who is a staff planner on the team who helped work through the mechanics of all this. So thanks for this opportunity to present with this to you. As Commissioner Daly already introduced, this is a sort of part of our process of keeping both the transportation system plan and the funding mechanism attached to it sort of always at the ready and nimble. And so this, we're planning to do this, we think, every couple of years to try to constantly be refreshing the list and the overall TSP. And so this is a sort of an array of relatively small moves that are rebalancing between projects. So maybe, Zeph, yeah. You want to go into the details?
Yeah, so good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Yeah. My name again is Zeph Wagner, Transportation Planner at PBOT. I'll just walk you through really quickly this kind of technical amendment we're requesting. You know what transportation SDCs are, one-time fees paid by new development to pay for transportation facilities. And what we're updating is the 2017 TSDC Capital Improvement Plan, which is just the list of eligible projects. So it's sort of the menu of projects that we can spend TSDCs on. The actual approval of funding is done through the CIP process and gets rolled into the annual budget. So this is just the list of eligible projects. And we're updating the amount of eligibility for 18 existing projects on the list. And we're adding 4 new projects to the list. And all the details are in Exhibit A. About what went up, what went down, what was added. Why we're updating is really other plans that have emerged that we've worked on in the last 2 years. Some really exciting improvements. One of them is the Connected Center Street plan that we've been working on for the Jade and Rosewood areas to try to create more street connectivity. And so by creating new TSDC funding eligibility for these, we would have the opportunity to, as developments come in, they could create new street connections and get TSDC credits, or we could bring public funding to match their private funding and get more connectivity in these neighborhoods. So that's an exciting element of this. We also have a series of neighborhood street plans that we've worked on over the last many years in Cully, Division Midway, Tryon Stevens. We also have some street improvements in Errol Heights. A lot of these are partnerships with BES. It's really exciting projects to build out the local street network. And these are already on the list, but the funding eligibility was quite low. And as we found, the projects are a little more expensive than we thought, and we would like to be able to have more eligibility to be able to increase the funding for those projects. Another big change has been the adoption of Central City 2035, the plan for the Central City. And a couple master planning areas for new development. So we have the Broadway Corridor master plan area at the post office site in the Pearl District, and also the OMSI master plan area. And so what we'd be doing is adding projects to the list that would, again, allow these partnerships between the private developers developing these areas using TSDCs to leverage those funds. and also creating a new project for the Green Loop, which is a very exciting idea that is finally starting to emerge. Segments of it are now being planned and designed, and so we want to be able to partner with property owners along the line to build segments of the project, and creating this new funding eligibility will allow that. So just some highlights of what's in Exhibit A. We decided to, the decision on how to lower eligibility was really based on projects that have either already been constructed or already funded, projects that we expect more outside leverage. So we don't think this is really going to impact existing projects on the list. We're really reducing eligibility for projects that don't need that eligibility in the first place. And then transferring it to these new projects and projects that need more funding eligibility. We tried to keep them all within the same geographic area. So if you look at Exhibit A, we're reducing funding and increasing funding from projects in the same area. So there's no sort of one area subsidizing another area in terms of the eligibility. And as Commissioner Udaly mentioned earlier, there's no net change in the projected revenue or spending, so there's no change to the SDC rates. And again, the actual approval of funding for the projects would happen separately through the budget process. Any questions?
Great. Any questions? Carla, do we have any public testimony on this item?
I believe they left. It was Maggie.
All right. Any further business? Anything else you wanted to add?
No.
All right. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you for your presentation. Next up is another second reading, 1146.
Amend towing and disposition of vehicles code to clarify when a vehicle may be towed.
Colleagues, this is a second reading. We've already heard a presentation and taken public testimony on this item. Is there any other business? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Commissioner Udaly, thank you for the very clear presentation last week. It was very well done. Aye.
Wheeler?
Yeah, thank you to the transportation team, to the commissioner, Commissioner Udaly, and her office, and all the folks who testified. It was great. Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next item is 1147.
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to acquire certain permanent and temporary property rights necessary for construction of the Carson Basin Southwest 39th Avenue Project Number E11116 through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Colleagues, Commissioner Fish asked that I introduce this item. This is to prevent localized flooding in a portion of Southwest Portland. The Bureau of Environmental Services is building a stormwater project at Southwest 39th Avenue. It's below Southwest Capitol Highway near the headwaters of Tryon Creek. The project will direct stormwater to the new facility, preventing flooding in the neighborhood. To proceed with the project, the Bureau of Environmental Services needs to acquire certain easements and property rights. Here today to give a brief presentation are Joe Dvorak, Engineering Manager, and Lisa Masinski, Environmental Specialist, both with Environmental Services. Joe and Lisa, take it away.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Good morning, members of Council. So again, real short presentation and here to answer any questions that you may have. So I'll turn it over to Lisa with more details.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Lisa Moshinsky with the Bureau of Environmental Services. Our presentation is going to be just a few minutes. We're going to give a brief overview of the project, outreach conducted to date, and the specific request to authorize the city to offer just compensation and use eminent domain authority. So the goals of our Southwest Carson, Southwest 39th project are to extend the public storm system from Southwest 39th to Southwest 37th through private properties, parallel to an existing sanitary sewer system, and we plan to replace a storm pipe on Southwest Carson within the right-of-way. This project will help reduce flooding within the right-of-way and neighboring properties. It also removes stormwater from our sanitary sewer system and improves existing infrastructure. So this project is in Southwest Portland, where we have a separated sewer system, and in many areas, the stormwater infrastructure is limited. Unlike older parts of our city that developed with curbs and storm drains in the late 19th and early 20th century, this area was a semi-rural landscape annexed by the city in the 50s, 60s, and 70s with no formalized stormwater infrastructure. So BES identified the issue about 5 years ago when two vacant tax lots came in for development. And there was no approved discharge point for the stormwater, making development challenging. And then we learned of the frequent flooding issues. So during heavy rainstorms, neighbors pull off that sanitary sewer manhole that you see in that photo to alleviate flooding on the roadway and private properties. And then the sanitary system isn't designed to handle that additional stormwater, and it causes surcharging of the system down the pipe. So we did specific outreach, including letters, emails, phone calls, and site visits to the properties affected by the easements, and have been having ongoing communication with the property owners over the last couple of years. Two temporary construction easements and 5 permanent sewer easements spread across 5 properties. We have an existing sewer easement, but after review, it was determined that the easement was specific for the sanitary system. So these new sewer easements are necessary to maintain and operate the proposed storm system. The cost incurred with the acquisition shall be charged to the Sewer Operating Fund FY1920 budget BES project number E11116 to accomplish the project's goals and to construct the project as designed. The city must acquire the property interest described and depicted in Exhibits A through N by May 2020, so construction of the project can begin on schedule. The construction is expected to start in September 2020 after a 4-month procurement period. So we thank you for your time and we'll be happy to field any questions you might have.
Very good. Colleagues, any questions?
Have any of the property owners indicated concern about this?
No, I've been in touch over the phone and via email with all 5 of the property owners, and there isn't a concern over it.
Okay, thank you.
Seems like a good trade-off.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Is there any public testimony on this item, Carla?
They left.
Okay, very good. Anybody want to testify? Thank you for your presentation. Thank you to Commissioner Fish, and thank you, Asena Lawrence, for your guiding this. This is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you. Next item, also a second reading, 1148.
Authorize a competitive solicitation and contract with the lowest responsible bidder and provide payment for construction of the Northwest Thurman Street Sewer Reconstruction Project number E10696 for an estimated cost of $4,680,000.
Any further business on this item? Seeing none, call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Ordinance is adopted. 1149, please.
Appeal of Patrick Cashman against the Bureau of Parks and Recreation Social Services Permits Policy.
So, colleagues, this is somewhat of a different item for us. Pursuant to Portland City Code, community members have the right to appeal Portland Parks and Recreation policies to the City Council. To our knowledge, this is the first time that right has been invoked. Commissioner Fish has asked that this item be referred to his office without objection after we invite the appellant to speak, as they're entitled to do. So if the appellant would like to speak, and that is Patrick Cashman. Is Patrick here? I did not anticipate that. So I guess we just return it to Commissioner Fish's office. Is that the right procedure?
Yeah.
Legal counsel is giving me a head up. So without objection, the item is returned to Commissioner Fish's office. I thought that was going to be more interesting, given the historical first nature of that. And unless I'm mistaken, that concludes this morning's agenda.
The pulled item.
I pulled it back to my office.
1137.
One moment. T, did we want to hear that or pull it back to the office?
No, hear it.
It's 1137.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, we're reading. Yeah.
We are going to read and hear it now? 1137.
It's the second reading.
Believe it or not, folks, I have not practiced this. 1137, please.
Assess property for system development charge contracts, private plumbing loan contracts, and safety net loan deferral contracts.
All right, this is a routine administrative city business process to assess property owners for system development charge contracts and deferrals for Bureau of Environmental Services, the Parks Bureau, Portland Bureau of Transportation, and the Water Bureau. In this legislation, there are a total of 96 liens and $3,591,850.29 to be assessed. This ordinance is for system development charge fees, which are one-time fees based on the proposed new use or increase in the use of the property. The fees apply both to new construction and to residential projects, which increase the impact to city infrastructure. Per city code, property owners are given the right to finance system development charge fees through the city. And I don't know if there's anybody presenting anything.
It's a second reading.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
You're right. Great. Call the roll.
Udaley?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
It was about as exciting as I made it sound. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Now, can we please be adjourned? We are adjourned until 1:30, colleagues. We're coming back at 1:30 for a work session. Mind.